But first, a Michigan congressman has just been named co-chair of the House Automotive Caucus. Congressman Gary Peters, Democrat from the 14th District, will co-chair the caucus with Republican Congressman John Campbell, who, it should be noted, was once a car dealer. He's from California. Congressman Peters joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Cynthia.
Well, the idea of this bipartisan House Automotive Caucus, it sounds very, very impressive. What can the caucus really do for the domestic auto industry?
Well, I think it's important to tell the story, and that's really the focus of bringing together members. Right now, I think we're at 50 members, part of the Auto Caucus, and members all across the country. As you mentioned, my co-chair is from California, so as important as the auto industry is for Detroit, which I'm blessed to represent, and Michigan, the auto industry, of course, is important for the whole country. So it's important to have representatives from around the country. I'm one of those believers and a big believer that you can't be a great country unless you actually make something and manufacture something. And then you really can't have a manufacturing sector unless you have a strong and vibrant auto sector. So it's important to tell that story and to make sure that there's support in Congress for some of the challenges that the automotive industry faces in our country.
And does the supply base also gain access to the caucus and get on your radar?
Absolutely. In fact, that's, as you know, Cynthia, that's where most of the jobs are, actually in the supplier base, more than the big three or the other Nissan, Toyota, and others. It's all of the parts that get provided, and that's really the real engine for manufacturing as well, whether it's rubber or steel or plastic or the IT stuff, computers that are now in automobiles. It's that supply base, and that's really where all the innovation is, too. It's really the suppliers that are constantly innovating and doing some very creative things. Certainly here in Michigan, I mean, we've got a very vibrant auto supply sector that is doing cutting-edge technology. And in fact, I love telling my colleagues in Washington, D.C., every opportunity I get is that a lot of folks, because they think of Michigan and Detroit, they kind of think of smokestacks and factories, and we have those. We're proud of them. But the other thing that we're very proud of is that we have more engineers in the greater Detroit area than any other region of the country. And that's why, quite frankly, when the U.S. Patent Office, they decided to open a patent office outside of Washington, D.C. for the first time in their history. And where they put their first office for the patent office was not in Silicon Valley in California. It was in Detroit, Michigan. That's a tribute to the types of talent we have here in the area.
I'm speaking with Congressman Gary Peters, Democrat from the 14th District, who is the newly named co-chair of the House Automotive Caucus. I'm kind of curious, as you kind of look ahead and what you want to cover and what you want to have discussed in the caucus, what do you see? What are your main goals and issues that you want to focus on, both short-term and long-term, Congressman?
Well, I think you know, important thing is the innovation. We are in a very competitive environment around the world, and other countries also appreciate and understand the importance of the auto sector to their economy. And so we've got to make sure that we continue to be at the cutting edge of new developments in auto efficiencies, fuel efficiencies, performance. I'm working on a bill, the Advanced Vehicle Technology Act, which is really public-private partnerships in R&D to make sure that the best cars in the world are made in America. And we've got to find ways where the government and private industry can partner together and together their strength there. So those are the types of things that we want to build support for in Washington. But in order to build that support in Washington, we have to make sure that members of Congress understand the importance of the industry.
And with that in mind, certainly we've all, Michigan, Detroit, anyone who's involved with the auto industry, either as OEM or supply base, have traveled some long, tough miles since the automotive crisis of 2008-2010. What is the image of the U.S. car companies right now among your colleagues in Congress?
Well, it is certainly better than when I got there, but that's why we've got to continue to do that. And I think the important part is, which I mentioned earlier, is that folks understand the auto industry touches each and every district, no matter where you live in this country. And I came into Congress in 2009, right at the height of the crisis, and worked to get support for the loans that were absolutely essential to keep Chrysler and General Motors in business. And you know, I was struck by the lack of knowledge that people had, and they didn't realize the importance of the auto industry. And quite frankly, it wasn't until auto dealers started to start speaking up as to the troubles that they faced that everybody realized everybody has an auto dealer in their district, and many of them. And so we were able to get that support that was necessary, but now with a tremendous success. And what we've seen happen here in Detroit with our local producers, certainly the image has changed in Washington. And if you look at the product that's now coming out of Chrysler and General Motors and Ford, they're products that we are all very, very proud of and should be proud of. And people are really taking notice, particularly when it comes to fuel efficiency. You know, our domestic auto manufacturers are now leading their foreign competitors when it comes to fleet efficiency of cars. American ingenuity is an incredibly powerful force, and that ingenuity is alive and well in the domestic auto industry now and is really leading the recovery of the overall economy.
I want to harken back. You had mentioned a few moments ago the importance of building great cars in America. At the same time, there's no doubt the automakers are planning to add capacity in North America to meet the increasing demand, but it appears those assembly factories are going to be in Mexico. A lot of development, especially around Celaya, a lot of automakers are announcing plans to build or add to factories in Mexico. Is there anything that can be done by you and your colleagues to get those assembly jobs back to the U.S. and back to Michigan?
Well, we have to have those jobs here. That's why we have to have manufacturing policy, and that's part of what we'll be doing in the caucus, too, is to make sure that the automobiles are actually built here in this country. And that means not just the big three. And so, you know, we have folks from Honda and who represent Honda plants and Toyota plants and Nissan and BMW. To me, it doesn't matter as long as they're making them in the United States with American workers, and those are good-paying manufacturing jobs. So we've got to figure out ways to make sure that it's competitive for that to occur. One area in particular, I mentioned the Advanced Vehicle Technology Act that I'm working on, but there's also a fund, Advanced Vehicle Technology Fund, that made sure that our big companies had the access to the capital that they needed at a competitive price that would allow them to have the resources to retool their factories to make these new cutting-edge cars. And you know, for example, here in the greater Detroit area, Ford Motor Company makes a car here that is used to be made in Mexico at one of those plants you mentioned. They've actually shifted production from Mexico back to Michigan with UAW labor. So we can win that. Just because it may be manufactured in Mexico now does not mean that we can't bring those jobs back to the United States, and that's going to be a big focus. Well, we'll figure out how we can help manufacturers do what's right for our country, which is build a product here.
Meantime, we have to ask you, Congressman, it's pretty tough not to mention the word congressman without the word sequestration leaping to mind. And I'm sure you've been hearing from people all weekend as you've been home here in Michigan. And, you know, we know what happened last Friday. That deadline came and went. Can you understand the voter frustration aimed at both Congress and the White House over the inability to stop something that was supposed to be so horrible and unpalatable that no one would let it happen, and yet it did?
Yes, I can. I can understand that frustration because I share that frustration as to trying to find middle ground. It is becoming so difficult to find middle ground. And quite frankly, I was concerned about this 18 months ago when this bill passed, and I voted against it, saying that, you know, I believe you're voting for the sequestration by passing this because we're just kicking the can down and saying these things will automatically kick in, and I don't have a lot of confidence that folks are going to come to the table and find that middle ground. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Folks are not coming to the middle. We're not doing this in a smart way. We know we have to have cuts, so we have to cut back to deal with the federal deficit. But you got to do it in a smart way, and we're not doing it in a smart way. We're cutting good programs that are critical for the future of the country and investments in the future of the country. At the same time, we're cutting other programs that, quite frankly, could be cut even more. And the fact that these cuts are occurring to the magnitude that they are will also slow down what is economic recovery, but not as robust as any of us would like. So it is frustrating to get folks together. I mean, part of it is that I've got members in Congress who don't really have elections in the general election. They're all concerned about a primary, and whoever wins the primary wins the general election because of the gerrymander of congressional districts. We see that right here in Michigan. They were badly gerrymandered by the current state legislature. And so I've got members who are worried about the far right or the far left, but right now usually the far right and Tea Party folks who are not in any mood to compromise. In fact, they are telling their members of Congress if they compromise, they will be punished for compromising. And that makes no sense in an American political system that's premised on compromise, where you've got to find middle ground and know that nobody will ever be 100% happy with what you get, but that's the way the democratic system works.
It sure will be interesting to think about what our, for example, our grandkids may read about this era when they're studying American history a generation or so down the road, won't it?
Well, yes, and hopefully they'll have something good to read. So we've got to keep working. We've got to keep the faith and try to work in a bipartisan way, and certainly that's what I'm committed to do. In fact, there is a group that we meet fairly regularly for breakfast and across the aisle and have discussions. We need to see more of that, though.
Congressman Gary Peters from the 14th District, Democrat, thank you so much. The co-chair of the House Automotive Caucus. Thanks for joining us on Stateside, Congressman.
Cynthia, always a pleasure. Thank you.